Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is that time of the year. It's that summertime, that little lull in the NFL calendar. Most of those guys are able to take some vacations right now and get away for a little bit, but it gives us a chance to get ready for this 2024 season that'll be kicking off before we know it. We like to spend a little bit of time here on the weekends and preview what is happening around the NFC South. Today we're going to visit with Scott Reynolds. Scott is with PewterReport.com. He's covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a long time. He joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Scott, appreciate the time. And I know you've been around this Tampa team for a number of years now. Before we get to what's happening on the field this year, give me your thoughts on Raheem Morris, a guy that I know you were around some when he was the coach at Tampa. The idea of Raheem Morris back in this division and back in Atlanta.
Well, I'm good friends with Raheem. I remember I was probably the first reporter to interview him when he was an assistant defensive backs coach to Mike Tomlin during the early part of the John Gruden era in Tampa. I remember I went up to Monty Kiffin. I was doing a story on Mike Tomlin, who was kind of the next big thing, the defensive backs coach for the Bucs. And Monty gave me a quote about Mike. And, you know, sure enough, we know what Mike's done. Quickly ascending to the head coaching position with the Steelers, been there for 17 years. And he said, yeah, but you know what? The guy you really need to talk to is Raheem Morris, because he's the next one. And I think if you look back at Raheem's tenure in Tampa when he was a head coach here, he was too young for the job, really, but certainly was able to produce some results. But he's just learned so much football. When you look at his career path, going to Washington for years, being around guys like Shanahan and all of, you know, Sean McVay, and just the football tree that he kind of came from, and of course the exposure to Gruden and Kiffin and Tampa. I think he's ready for this job in Atlanta. I really do. I'm excited for him, and I think it was definitely the right hire, especially for the long term. Someone like Bill Belichick, maybe he comes in, and it's a quicker fix. But Bill Belichick certainly has a shorter shelf life. And I just think with Raheem Morris, he's a smart guy. He can identify talent, the coaching ranks. Jimmy Lake was a defensive backs coach for two stops here in Tampa. He and Raheem are like brothers. They think alike. So I think that the Falcons got the right guy, and Raheem Morris, who's ready for this job now, much older in his years, but still a young coach who's relatable to today's NFL players coming out of college. And I think the staff he's put together is quite impressive. So in my opinion, the NFC South is going to be a two-team race for years to come. It's going to be Atlanta and Tampa. I do think the Saints are on their way down. The Panthers have a long way to go to come up. So I look forward to the Bucs and Falcons really kind of duking it out each year, starting this year, for who wins the NFC South.
Scott Reynolds, PewterReport.com. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tampa ended last year winning 5 out of their last 6. How do they build on that this year?
I think things started to really click for the Buccaneers offense down the stretch, and I think Todd Bowles' defense kind of really came on. You know, you have to give Todd Bowles a lot of credit. When this team was 4-7, you know, I'm looking around, well, who's going to be the next head coach of the Buccaneers in 2024? It didn't look good. The Buccaneers went on an incredible run down the stretch and ended up winning the division in the final week of the season. Baker Mayfield was banged up. They went to Carolina, played the worst team in football, and escaped with a 9-0 win. That was enough to claim the division once more. And then they had a great showing against the Philadelphia Eagles and just throttled the Eagles. A little bit of a payback game for their Week 3 loss earlier in the season at Raymond James Stadium, 32-9. And then they ran into the Detroit Lions buzzsaw up in Detroit. And that left a bad taste in their mouth. They faced Detroit again this year in Detroit in Week 2. That's a game that a lot of Buccaneers have already circled on the schedule. And I just think that the continuity, they brought everybody back. And they had another great draft class. And I think Jason Light has hit a home run in these last 3 draft classes that have really stockpiled this team with young talent. Look at Rashad White, the running back. You look at defensive tackle Kalijah Kansi, pass rusher Yaya Diaby, cornerback Zion McCollum, who steps in as a starter replacing Carlton Davis this year. They've just done a really good job of reloading, and it would have been easy to maybe press the blow up button and rebuild after Tom Brady left, but they didn't do that. Baker Mayfield, they took a chance on him, and they hit the lottery. This guy is the heartbeat of the Buccaneers in terms of his leadership style. He has ingratiated himself not just with the offense, but he is the leader of the entire team. When Baker Mayfield takes the field at training camp, at OTAs, at minicamp, when he does his calisthenics, he buries himself on the other side of the line. He goes over and hangs out with the defensive linemen and does the calisthenics with them. So he is the leader and the heartbeat of this team. His style of play fits what Dave Canales did last year and is even a better fit in what Liam Cohen brings from the Rams. And it's interesting, the Falcons and the Rams and the Buccaneers all are going to be running kind of the same offense because you've got Zach Robinson coming from the Rams. You've got Liam Cohen coming from the Rams. So it's going to be kind of a Rams-style attack on offense for both Atlanta and Tampa. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But Baker Mayfield, actually, remember, was with the Rams for the last five games of the 2022 season. And that was beneficial because he got to work with Liam Cohen. And this is not a vast departure from the offense that they ran last year, because Shane Waldron went from the Rams to the Seahawks, and that's where Dave Canales learned the Shane Waldron type offense and brought it to Tampa. So the offense the Bucs ran last year, even though it was from Seattle, it had a lot of roots and core principles that came from the Rams. So I think that this offense can hit the ground running and kind of pick up where it left off and maybe go from 21 points per game to maybe 24 points per game this season.
Scott Reynolds, PewterReport.com. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Evans, he seems like a Falcons killer, Scott. He always seems to have big games against Atlanta. The dude is 30 now. At what point do those numbers start to dip and his production decline a little bit?
Well, I'm going to correct you. He's going to be 31 this season.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got a birthday coming up in August, so he will be 31. And at some point, he is going to not be a 1,000-yard guy, right? He set an NFL record. He's got 10 straight seasons to start a career with 1,000 yards in each of those seasons. No NFL player has ever done that before. He is a Hall of Famer in waiting. I don't think it's going to be this year. the one long-lasting benefit of Tom Brady being in Tampa, even though he's gone now 2 years, was the TB12 method. And some of these older veterans, guys like Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Vita Vea now on the defensive side, who's now 29 years old, they watched Brady play at a very high level at the age of 44, at the age of 45, which was his final season in Tampa, still throwing for, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 yards and you know, lighting the league up with touchdowns. So they bought into this, that take care of your body, do the medical treatments, the preventative care, the stretching, the massage, all of those things, eating right, the diet, it's important. And they saw how Brady was able to milk not just years, but very productive years at the end of his career. And I think that's what Evans and Godwin and Vita Vea, who showed up to training or showed up to OTAs and minicamp, looking like he dropped about 30 pounds. I mean, he looks phenomenal, and he wants to not just play for a couple more years, but play at a Pro Bowl level for a couple more years. So I think that's why Evans is able to continue to put up as many yard touchdowns, is because he's in better shape now than he was at the start of his career when he was this young, spry wide receiver coming out of Texas A&M. And so it's really a tribute to Brady and the influence he had in kind of that TB12 method, which Evans uses today. There will be a time when he becomes an 800-yard receiver. But the thing is, at 6'5", he's always going to be a red zone weapon, former basketball player. He goes up and gets the high point balls like he's going up for a rebound or a layup or a dunk. And so he can still be effective. When he turns into Keyshawn Johnson, kind of the big possession type receiver, he can still play, I think, to like 35, 36 It may not be at the 1,000-yard level, but he still might get you a dozen touchdowns and 700 yards receiving.
Scott, I wanted to ask about Kalijah Kansi. I don't want to call it a breakout year. Heck, I thought he was really good last year when he was on the field. What's the ceiling for this guy on that defensive line for the Buccaneers?
I think he can certainly be a double-digit sacker perhaps this year. He had 4 sacks last year during the season, and he missed the first 4 games of the year and all of training camp and all of the preseason with a calf injury. So when he finally got a chance to play, he was coming in ice cold, didn't really have the benefit of going through camp, working on his craft, going up against NFL teams and games that don't count in August, right, to kind of trial and error your way. He was thrown into the fire, and I thought he played well despite that circumstance. And then you look at the postseason, those 2 games, you know, he had a sack and a half, and I think he was he ended the season on an extremely high note. You wanted the Bucs to advance into the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl just to see how he was ascending. And so I think he is a player that can pick up where he left off. He's a little bit stronger now. He's never going to be a big guy. His frame is maxed out. He's 6'2", 286. That's just how big he is. But it's the speed, the quickness, the agility, the ability to penetrate the backfield, whether it's a tackle for loss, which he had 10 last year, whether it's getting to the quarterback with a pressure or a sack. I think that he can be a Pro Bowl defensive tackle. He will be a double-digit sacker. It's just only a matter of when. And I would not suggest that it can't happen this year. I think it can. In playing next to Vita Vea and playing next to Yaya Diaby on that defensive line, which guy do you double? Which guy is the defense, or I should say the offensive coordinator, going to say, we have to stop him? Okay, well, that's fine. You can stop him, but there's 2 other guys that can get to the quarterback and do a lot of damage as well. So it's kind of like pick your poison now. And I think the key question for the Buccaneers is who's going to be the 4th guy on the offensive line, or defensive line, I should say, to replace Shaq Barrett? Is it going to be Chris Braswell, the 2nd-round pick from Alabama? Is it going to be Joe Tryon-Shoyinka in a contract year, highly motivated, former 1st-round pick? Is it going to be Marquise Watts, who is kind of a pass-rushing phenom, undrafted free agent last year, who's made some big strides? That's going to be the key training camp question, is who's going to be the 4th guy on that defensive line next to Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi and opposite Yaya Diaby?
Scott Reynolds, pewterreport.com. That's the site. They've been covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a long time, so it's a good resource if you want to read up on what's happening with the Buccaneers. Again, pewterreport.com. Scott Reynolds hanging with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Scott, as we finish up here, biggest question mark going into training camp for the Bucs is what?
I think the offensive line, right? Graham Barton's going to be the starting center. He's the 1st-round pick. And it's just how quickly can he acclimate to the NFL? He's a very smart guy coming from Duke, obviously. He started 5 games as a true freshman center in the COVID year 2020 and actually put some really good tape out there, then went to left tackle for the next 3 years and dominated. So he's got the athleticism, the size, the football IQ. It's just how quickly does it click? And in other words, can he play at a starting guard or starting center level sooner rather than later, where you don't have those growing pains? And then the left guard position, that was the weakness for the Buccaneers last year. They got rid of Matt Filer and Aaron Stinney, and who kind of platooned at that spot. They brought in Sua Opeta and Ben Bredesen. Bredesen's from the Giants. Opeta is from the Eagles. Both those guys are good run blockers. Tampa Bay's running game was one of the worst in the league over the last couple of years. It's got to improve. Liam Cohen has put a lot of emphasis on that. So I think the passing attack is there. The 4,000-yard season from Baker Mayfield, the 28 touchdowns, that's evidence of that. How much more dangerous can this Buccaneer team be? Can they get the ground game going? Rashad White had 990 yards last year. They want to see him get 1,200 to 1,300 yards on the ground. They think he's that capable of a back. They added Bucky Irving as a 1-2 punch, the Oregon running back. So they really want to emphasize the running game and get that going. They feel like if they can have a top 10, top 12 passing attack with a running game that doesn't have to be top 10, but if it can just be middle of the road, just middle of the pack, they feel that this offense can score a lot more points, control the ball, keep Todd Bowles' defense fresher for later in the game when it matters the most. So the running game is the biggest question in Tampa Bay, and it all starts up front with the offensive line. Who's going to man that left guard spot? They're solid at left tackle with a Pro Bowler in Tristan Wirfs. The right tackle spot has been solidified with Luke Getteke. There's a lot of promise in second-year right guard. Cody Malky's got bigger and stronger this offseason. But the center position, how quickly can Graham Barton acclimate to this offense and to the NFL in terms of those big defensive tackles he'll face? And then who plays left guard? And is it truly an upgrade over what the Bucs had last year?
Scott Reynolds, PewterReport.com. Scott, appreciate the time. Again, want to encourage folks, check out your work over at PewterReport.com. And we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Greatly appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stay with us. We'll come back. We'll get a look at our NFL notebook. We'll go around the league. We'll do it next.